I always knew that I wanted to be a dad, but I never really imagined that I would be a divorced dad. In the spring of 2010, my wife and I, after 18 years of marriage, reached the difficult decision that it was time to start the process of separation and divorce. And we agreed that we wanted our three children. There's Dylan, who's now 17, and Georgia, who's now 15, and Sam, who's now 11. We wanted our three children to be able to share equal time with both of us, and we wanted them to have two safe and loving homes for them to live in. But we didn't really want to tell them about this until we had some sort of plan. The thing is, we couldn't figure out a plan. And then in the middle of all this, my grandmother died. She was 100 years old, and she used to laugh a lot and make us smile. And she was able to leave some money for her three grandchildren, my brother and sister and I. So I now had some money to afford to buy a house, and I was the one who was going to move. So it wasn't just me, though. It was also Dylan and George and Sam. I was going to take them for half of their life to a place that they didn't know, and I was going to take them from the one house that they did know. So I had to figure stuff out. I knew that I wanted to be near their mom's house, but not too near. I wanted them, if possible, to be able to ride their bikes or walk back and forth. And I wanted them, you know, to have their own bedrooms. But to live in a four-bedroom, single-family home like I was going to leave, it just didn't feel right. So I zeroed in on the neighborhood of Rogers Forge, and I found myself a townhouse at the northern end of Rogers Forge. There's lots of open sky, and I felt like I could breathe there. And I was hoping that the kids could breathe there, too. October 25th, 2010 was moving day. I packed my whole life into a truck. Two strangers drove that truck 5 minutes across Towson, and I followed them. And then it took us 2 hours to unload, and that was it. Goodbye. Done. I was 51 years old, and I was starting over. Now, when I look back at that time, I realize from now that, well, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I had some sort of arbitrary image of how a divorced father, should raise his single children. No, they're not single. Well, yes, they are, but I was single. There are three children. How to raise them? They're not married yet. So my arbitrary image was this. I said to myself, okay, there's a hot dinner on time. There's no food in your room. You're going to have your homework done and checked every night. You're going to turn your Facebook off by 9. You're going to turn your phone off by 10. You're going to pick up your clothes. You're going to do your laundry. You're going to brush your teeth. You're going to make your bed. Yeah, right. The thing is, I didn't have that other person in the house anymore, the person that you can turn to for help, the other adult, the one that you can turn to and say, tag, you're it. You take care of the kids, please, just for a few minutes. I had taken care of the kids by myself for, you know, several times when their mom was away on a trip, but this was different. This was week in and week out. This was life. So, life. Hey, Dad, I left my math book at Mom's house. Can we go get it? Oh, Dad, I have to stay after school on Thursday. Can you pick me up? Oh, Dad, what time is dinner? Dad, why do you always get orange juice with pulp? You know I don't like pulp. Dad, have you seen my phone chart? Oh, Dad, I got invited to a party this weekend. Can we go? Dad, I want to have a friend over for a sleepover on Friday. Is that okay? Dad, do you have $10 for my photo class? Because I really need $10 for my... Dad, when are we going to go to GameStop? You said we're going to go to GameStop. The first month or so, when the kids would take their stuff and go over to their mom's house on Saturday or Sunday afternoon, I would fall on the couch exhausted. I would watch dumb TV until I recovered. So that first year, lots of adventures, some good times, but it was new for us. It was challenging. Divorced life. And we definitely hit a low point. I think the lowest point was about a year after we moved in, and my youngest son, Sam, and I, we'd been butting heads for a couple of months. He was becoming more independent, and I was being too controlling. And there was a night that it just got really bad. We argued. I didn't know how to defuse the situation. I didn't know how to back down. I I didn't know how to calm him down, and words were yelled, and doors were slammed, and, you know, I made threats, and he ignored them, and my poor baby boy, he just cried his heart out. And Dylan and Georgia, they were done, too. They took matters into their own hands. They said to me, "Dad, we don't care what you think. We don't care if it's cold out. We're going over to Mom's house to sleep tonight. And you know what? You need to figure out how to be a better parent, because you don't know how to control Sam, and he needs you. He's scared." Yeah. I stood there at the door, and I watched Dylan and Georgia walk down the street and around the bend, and my heart got all... Well, Sam and I, we calmed down and we rebuilt and we grew together. We knew we loved each other. We knew we needed each other. And Dylan and Georgia were back the next night, and they didn't hold it against me for too long. So I think for us, the symbolic turning point was about a month later. It was Christmas Eve, and we were going to have a Christmas Eve party because the kids were with me that Christmas for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. And we went to our church Christmas Eve service, and their mom was there, and that was great. And then the three kids and I, we all came back to our house, and we decided to have a party. And we had breakfast for dinner, and we got dressed in our pajamas, and we put on fun hats and bow ties and vests, and we played music, and we popped poppers, and we laughed, and we created a new story. We created a new memory for us. And that's what you have to do. You have to create new stories and live your life. And this past holiday season, just a month ago, I knew the kids were going to be with their mom out of town for Christmas. So I figured, hey, we'll have a winter solstice party. And we did, and it was a lot of fun. We played Vivaldi's Four Seasons on YouTube, and we danced around the Christmas tree and did breakfast for dinner again. So I want my kids to feel free in our house. I want them to feel free to play with all the other kids on our block. We've got all these kids in our block and two babies and three babies were born in the last 3 years, and there's all these kids running around. You sure you don't live near us? And I want my kids to be able to go down the alley where I can't see them anymore, and I want them to be able to cross over the busy Stevenson Road and play in the park by themselves as long as they tell me when they're going and when they're coming back. And I want them to feel free in our house to bake and to cook and to sing and dance and paint and just keep growing and taking steps and being themselves. So I am more relaxed with this single dad thing, this divorced dad thing. I am able to listen better. I am able to hear them better. I am able to laugh. I am now more myself. And I want to finish by telling you one other tradition that we now have since our camp last summer. We've created a tradition of saying things that we're thankful for around the dinner table before we start a meal. And so my thanks are that I am thankful for my parents, Noel and George. They have always supported me in my adventures, and they certainly supported me in the last 2.5 years. I am thankful for my youngest son, Sam. I am thankful that we love to play together, that we play games with boards and games with balls, and we play games with rules and games with no rules and rules that we make up on the spot. I am thankful for my daughter, Georgia. I am thankful that we sit together in her room sometimes late at night, and I sit in her cozy armchair, and we talk about stuff and listen to each other, and I'm thankful that we like to go shopping at Target and IKEA together, and we like to go to movies together. I'm thankful for my son, Dylan, my 17-year-old, 6'3" son, who still gives me great big hugs and tells me out loud that he loves me. I'm thankful that he is ready, almost, not quite, but almost, to step out into the world on his own and need me, his father, just a little bit less.